Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Aaron York Show, returning once again at the start of Big Ten football season. I know I'm really excited about it after a few non-conference clashes. Now to talk about the opener, or one of the openers of the Big Ten football season in 2012, Penn State versus Illinois. We're going to talk to Robert of alionei.com, which is an awesome Illini blog. And Robert, I believe you say that you're the biggest Illini football fan out there?
Yes. Well, actually, I recently met somebody who's a bigger Illini football fan than me.
How is that even possible?
Like, who's more obsessed about it than me and knew a few more stats from, like, the 80s than I do. So, I claim to be number two now.
Oh, wow. That must have been a very humbling experience for you.
It was. But I'm trying to plan a podcast with that guy someday so we can have, you know, one versus two battles.
That should be extremely intense and probably way too hardcore for someone like me whose Illinois knowledge is very limited. But the first thing I wanted to ask you was, of course, about the new coach, Tim Beckman. All right, so he came from Toledo. Yep. How do you like him so far? What makes this team, or how does the team look different from when Ron Zook was the coach the past few years?
Well, it's probably still a little early to tell. It haven't been the best early returns. A 30-point loss at home to Louisiana Tech being the, the event that has us all questioning. The biggest thing so far, I went to training camp. Illinois does a camp called Camp Rantoul. It's this old Air Force base 20 miles north of Champaign, and they do a camp for a week up there to begin training camp. I went up there. He's a lot more organized than Ron Zook. His practices are a lot more planned out and, you know, weekly, daily schedules, hourly schedules, that type of thing. Tries to get his players more organized. So the biggest difference is he's trying to instill that. But, again, we got blown out by Arizona State. We got blown out by Louisiana Tech. We had a top 10 defense last year, returned a lot of those guys, and we're really struggling this year. So early returns on Beckman aren't so hot. The biggest thing that you have to say is we've got a lot of injuries. We had eight of our 22 starters were out for the Louisiana Tech game, and a ninth guy, our starting left tackle, went out in the second quarter with an injury. So hard to say how much the injuries play into it, but it's been rough so far.
Yeah, I actually wanted to ask you about some of those injuries, or at least what you were more worried about. I know there are injuries on both sides of the ball. Are you more worried about the offensive line, which is now probably the least experienced line in the conference, going up against the Penn State front seven with Michael Mowdy and Gerald Hodges and Deion Barnes and all of those guys? Or are you more worried about the back seven of the defense going against Penn State's wide receivers and tight end, highlighted by Allen Robinson and Kyle Carter, who have looked like really good players so far?
I think my biggest concern is the offensive line. I don't know. Graham Posick is a 3-year starter, and he's been out the last two games. He didn't play. He got injured after the after the Arizona State game, and he missed our last two games. I don't know if he's back this week. Beckman is very, very coy on injuries. He does not, it's like hockey playoffs or something, and like he's got an upper body injury. So Nathan Shieldhouse was out for two games with a ankle he turned in our first game, and you know both weeks they said he was ready to play, and they're smoke screening it. So it's hard to say if Posick's going to play this week. He dressed last week but just didn't play. But then Hugh Thornton, our other senior, you know, this is his fourth year as a starter. Thornton got injured in the second quarter and was out. So if both of them are out, we go sophomore, freshman, junior, but the junior has only played two games in his career. So we're wildly inexperienced on the line. So if Posick and Thornton are out, we're in big trouble.
Well, that sounds like
big
good
trouble. Yeah. Running the ball, pass pro, we're in big trouble.
Well, that sounds like good news for Penn State fans. And speaking of,
it should be. We, yeah. I mean, the, you know, they looked a little better the last few weeks than they did the first 2 weeks. Like these freshmen, you know, freshman Teddy Karras, who's the seventh Big Ten player in his family. He's Alex Karras' nephew. like he looked a lot better the last 2 weeks than he did his first two games as a, you know, because he's a freshman. But yeah, you just can't, you know, that whole line that played the second half last week. I think coming into the season they had 13 combined starts between the five of them. So you can't win in the Big Ten with a line that green.
Yeah, certainly from the non-conference results from Illinois so far, it looks like it could be tough sledding for them, but there's still the whole Big Ten season to go. I wanted to talk to you about Tim Beckman. A lot of Penn State fans are upset at his recruiting tactics after the Penn State sanctions were handed down over the summer. Beckman sent, I think, 8 of his 9 assistant coaches down to State College and basically camped out outside players' apartments. And they only came away with Ryan Nowicki, who's a backup offensive lineman, I believe, for you guys. So what was your opinion on that whole situation? Should Penn State fans be upset that did Beckman cross some kind of line there, or was it just open season like everyone else and that was okay?
Well, I've said this to my Penn State buddies. Somebody has to find me an article where someone's going on the record that Beckman was outside of apartment. There were players at Penn State tweeting that there were coaches outside their apartment.
Right.
And there was this report that was changed on ESPN where, you know, it originally said Bill O'Brien saw Beckman on campus, and then they changed their report to say he saw him in the airport when he was leaving to go to the Mike and Mike appearance that O'Brien did. And they, like, passed in the airport. The official word from Illinois and the official word I stay with is, I always tell the story this way to my Penn State buddies. 2 days prior on my blog, I wrote about in the wiki. He was born in Illinois, his family in Illinois, and had supposedly reached out to the Illinois coaches. So we had said there was a report 2 days prior saying Beckman is sending 6 coaches to meet with Nowicki in State College, and he's sending 2 coaches to Arizona to meet with Nowicki's parents, both that Thursday. So Illinois fans knew he was going to be there and knew he was chasing Nowicki and knew Nowicki reached out because he's from Illinois. So it was like, for Illinois fans that day to see everything blow up and Dick Vitale's tweeting how they're in the parking lot and everything else, it was like, wait. That, you know, from our angle, he went to put the full court press on Nowicki and, you know, met with him off campus. And at the Big Ten media days, Beckman said, yes, I had 6 coaches there and we were off campus. We talked to Nowicki. We reached out to a few other players. And that's all I'll say.
Yeah.
And so, to me, the whole parking lot, everything else was just this. Everybody was looking for the SMU story. Everybody was looking for, you know, there's a famous SMU report on CBS where there were, you know, 14 coaches in the parking lot at SMU's facility, you know, talking to players as they left the practice and as they left the facility. Everybody's looking at that story, and I just don't think it existed. I think we chased Nowicki. We reached out to a couple guys while we were there. But as far as being outside of apartments, being outside of the football building, there's just – I've asked all my Penn State buddies, just send me one link to one story that says a reporter saw Beckman recruiting somewhere on campus. And I've yet to receive one.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Certainly from me and my friends, when we talk about Penn State stuff, we have our own issues with how the media reports stuff. So I can't blame you for saying that the media might be representing what Illinois did or made a mountain out of a molehill. Certainly there's been other examples of that. And honestly, I've moved on from the whole thing. I was kind of reminded of it this week when I was reading one of my favorite Penn State blogs, BlackShoeDiaries.com, and they were talking about how Penn State's going to be extra pumped up for this game. And I'm not sure if they're extra pumped up. I'm not extra pumped up. I'm excited that it's Big Ten season. I'm not really out for, you know, to get revenge on Tim Beckman for invading the Penn State campus. So I'm glad that you said that, because Penn State fans are definitely familiar with the media blowing things out of proportion. So if it happened on your end,
right,
it's not that surprising, right, to me. Okay, let's talk about Nathan Shielhouse. You talked about how Beckman was not very honest about injuries, which is interesting because he said Shielhouse is going to be the starter. He said that on Monday. He said he's going to be the starter on Saturday. He did start in the Louisiana Tech game, but then he was pulled because he was ineffective. I believe he fumbled and threw an interception that game. Do you agree that
he
should be
the fumbled
starter?
And threw an interception, and nobody, like when he fumbled, the guy kind of rolled up on him, and he kind of limped off. I don't know how much of it was. There was some speculation that he re-injured the ankle on the fumble.
Okay.
And there was some speculation he was just straight yanked, like two turnovers in the first quarter, you're out. So, again, it's hard to really say. He didn't look like himself on the play that he got on the fumble. Like a linebacker, like a slow Louisiana Tech linebacker, ran him down from behind.
It seems unusual.
He's not fully healed. He doesn't have his full mobility yet. So I think that's the main reason he was pulled, is that he's just not full speed yet. He's just not there. And for a running quarterback that you can't run with him because his ankle's bad, it's not a good story.
So based on what you know, do you think it should be Shielhouse starting? I could barely pronounce it. Do you believe it should be Shielhouse starting on Saturday, or it should be Ryan O'Toole?
I think it should be Shielhouse. O'Toole has been effective in the passing game, mostly with completion percentage, but everything's underneath. Everything against Louisiana Tech and even against Charleston Southern the week before has a high completion percentage, but nothing's going, no balls traveling more than 8 yards in the air, which against a defense like Penn State, they'll just pull everyone forward, dare you to go over the top, and shut down everything you do. So I've always maintained that Nathan's not the most accurate passer, but he does have good touch on the ball, and he was really effective going deep to A.J. Jenkins last year. So if he is healthy, I think he has the touch on the deeper ball that's a little better, that can maybe stretch the field, maybe more so than Riley O'Toole. But I think you're going to see both quarterbacks in the game.
Okay, that should be fun to see. How do you let's switch to the running game now. I read on your site you seem really excited about this thunder and lightning combination with Josh Ferguson and Donovan Long.
Donovan Young, yeah.
Young, I can't even read my own handwriting.
Yeah,
Josh Ferguson, Donovan Young. How do you feel about those guys?
They're still a little inexperienced. They're still a little green. Ferguson's a freshman. Young's a sophomore. But they're both really effective in what we try to do with them. Donovan Young is probably, well, I can't say that. Pierre Thomas was Illinois' running back 2003, 4, or 5 at that time. And he's with the Saints now. He won a Super Bowl with the Saints.
Yeah, we're familiar with Pierre Thomas. We like him.
Pierre Thomas had incredible balance. Just hit him from the side and he could stay on his feet. Donovan Young is probably second in Illinois history of my watching of balance. He does not go down. Like his ability to stay on his feet and drag tacklers, or even stay on his feet and spin and keep his balance and keep going, is pretty phenomenal. He doesn't have top end speed. He doesn't have he's not going to get to the corner, but his balance is pretty phenomenal. So he can be the power back. And then Josh Ferguson is a little water bug. He's a freshman. He actually played in 2 games last year and tore his hamstring and was out the rest of the year and got a medical redshirt. So this is his second freshman year. And he's been impressive. Like, he had 100 yards against Arizona State, and he has that, like, what did he catch, 10 balls out of the backfield last week. So he fits what Beckman's trying to do in his offense, with that kind of hybrid guy that can come out of the backfield or line up in the slot and just get him the ball in open space and let him create. So I'm pretty excited about both of them. Again, they're both pretty green. You know, I'll be very excited about them in 2 years. Right now, as a freshman and sophomore, they're still learning.
Yeah, Ferguson caught 10 passes for 84 yards last week. It sounds like he's going to be the more dangerous guy in this Penn State game just because of the way they're built. Penn State's built with linebackers. They're built to handle guys like big, strong guys like Young. Ferguson, I feel like feels like a much more dangerous college player to me because he's able to do a lot of different things, catch balls out of the backfield. He's too fast for the linebackers. They're going to try to cover him. That's at least what I got.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But in this game, what we're trying to exploit is Ferguson's speed in space.
Right. And that'll be dangerous although Gerald Hodges is really fast. Michael Mowdy, more of a run stopper, although he's had a couple passes defensed. So that will be interesting to watch. I've only seen of Illinois. I saw parts of the Arizona State game, but from what I've heard, Ferguson sounds like a more dangerous player. Going into Big Ten play, we've got this leaders division. It's got six teams in it. Only four teams are eligible to go to the Big Ten championship game. So I wanted to ask you, are you more worried about the Big Ten playing so poorly in the non-conference schedule, or are you more excited that this Illinois team, mediocre team, could somehow sneak into the title game? You were talking about how they could possibly go 3-5 in conference play, not even be eligible for a bowl, and make the conference title game somehow.
Yeah, it's kind of like UCLA last year. We played UCLA in a bowl game, and you know they snuck in at 6-6 because USC was on probation, and they snuck into the Pac-12 title game, and then went to a bowl at 6-7 because they got a waiver from the NCAA. So it's kind of that scenario that, you know, if we go 4-4 and beat Purdue at home, and somehow Wisconsin continues to stumble, you know, there's a very good chance we could go 4-4 and go to the Big Ten championship game. And we'd be 6-6 at that time, and we'd need, you know, if we wanted to go to a bowl, you know, we'll get blown out by the Legends team, and then we would need the same UCLA waiver. You know, that's the main hope we're hanging to. If we can get our injured players back, and we can, you know, we put in two new systems. Last 2 years, we were under Paul Petrino's kind of pro-set pistol offense. Now we switched to a shotgun spread. So we still look a little confused, especially the line with zone blocking and just, you know, the different way we're supposed to, you know, the different way we handle things with a spread. The defense really hasn't taken to the new coordinator yet, and they're just still confused. Even the Arizona State game, there were play call confusions, and guys didn't know who was supposed to be on the field. And so it's looked pretty ragged so far. If we can somehow get that together and put together four wins somehow in the Big Ten, yes, we could go, you know, this is probably the worst Illinois team of the last 3 years, but it could possibly go to the Big Ten championship game somehow. So it's kind of a crazy scenario.
Yeah, they do get Indiana at home. They get Minnesota at home, although Minnesota, at least in non-conference, they look a lot better. Purdue is a team that has a very realistic chance of going to that
Definitely.
Big Ten title game. But like you said, they get them at home. Anything could happen. You don't know about Purdue?
Yeah, I like Purdue, but I could see Purdue. You know, I could see Purdue going like 7-5, or maybe even 8-4, and going to the Big Ten championship game, and going to one of the Big Ten Florida bowls and losing to like South Carolina 49-3. You know, like Purdue's a nice little team, but in your father's Big Ten, this would be a 2-9 Purdue team. You know, same for us. Say we go to a bowl game and we do well, or say we even go, you know, it doesn't mean we're a great team. It just means this is maybe the worst Big Ten in 20 years. And specifically, the leaders division has to be the weakest it will ever, ever be. So, you know, that's the hope. With a down Big Ten, maybe we could make a little noise, especially since Penn State and Ohio State are suspended.
Yeah, let's hope the leaders division doesn't get any weaker than this. I like Purdue a little more than you do. I think they could finish They could possibly finish second in the division. I think Ohio State's going to have the best record in the division. Penn State either second or third, and then Illinois right behind them with Indiana and Wisconsin and Illinois and then Indiana at the bottom. But let's talk more about this game coming up with Penn State visiting Illinois. The line in this game somehow is Illinois minus one. Is that surprising to you at all? It's very surprising to me.
Yeah, very surprising to me. I looked it up. I saw it opened at Penn State minus four, and it's moved all the way to Illinois minus one. So I was very surprised at that. I think part of that is if we do get our guys back. Like, we haven't had our two starting safeties at all this season. Like, they haven't played yet. And it's said that both are going to play this game. So, say they give us some stability in the secondary, and say we get Posick and Thornton back and everything else, then we look like a little better team. And Louisiana Tech is really good. Like, if Louisiana Tech beats Virginia this week, there's a chance they could go 11-1 or 12-0. They almost beat, you know, that offense took it to TCU's defense in their bowl game last year and should have beat them. They lost on a touchdown with 3 minutes left. So, you know, you could, for Illinois fans, we could start to see the season totally differently. We get healthy. It's a weaker Big Ten. We get teams like Purdue, Indiana, and Minnesota at home. Maybe we could get on a little roll here and you know, make a little noise.
Yeah, I agree with you, what you said about Louisiana Tech. I think they will beat Virginia just because I've been joking that since Penn State lost to Virginia by 1 point a couple weeks ago, that Virginia's basically been trying to troll Penn State by being as horrible as possible. They lost to Georgia Tech by a ton of points. Sorry?
Right, I saw it.
Yeah, they lost to Georgia Tech by a ton of points. They turn around, played a little better defense against TCU, but I think they still lost 24-7 or something like that. And now they're going to go out and they're probably going to lose to Louisiana Tech. But like you said, they are a good team. That result last week, Louisiana Tech beat Illinois 52-24. It was a surprise that they won by that much. It wasn't exactly an upset. I think Louisiana Tech was only a 1 or 2 point underdog in that game. So let's not make it out like Illinois lost to an FCS team. It wasn't like that at all. It was more like Penn State losing to Ohio, probably similar to that.
Yeah, I think so. I predicted a loss. I thought we were going to lose the game. I predicted we'd lose by three. I thought Louisiana Tech would, you know, it would be close and we'd lose by a touchdown or a field goal. I was surprised by that, but then again, we had six turnovers.
Yeah, I was going to say that's what happens when you turn over
the zone, you know.
When you turn over the ball that much, you know, three
nobody
points turns into 30 points.
Six turnovers. Yeah. So it was yakety sacks for a while. It was, I mean, we had a play where punt returner waved off his guys and was going to let it bounce in the end zone, and one of our guys was still engaged on his block. It hit him in the leg at the 10, bounced on into the end zone, and Louisiana Tech fell on for a touchdown. You know, so it was clown shoes for a while.
Okay, so what is your prediction for the Penn State versus Illinois game this weekend?
Well, I have this thing. I've done like podcasts with other people, and this is an annoying thing I do. I have this thing where I won't do a prediction until late Friday night before the game. I got to do the Solid Verbal podcast last year.
That's awesome.
Dan Ty, and they asked me, it was before the bowl game, and I said, well, what's your prediction for the bowl game? I'm like, I don't really want to do this because, you know, I have this thing that I can't do the prediction till late. Right now, I'm leaning toward a closer game. Like, Illinois fans are like, we're going to lose this one by – we lost to them by 24. We're going to lose this one by 36. You know, I think we're going to rebound a little bit. I think last week was a holy crap. We just lost at home to, you know, to Louisiana, to a whack team. So I think we'll rebound a bit. I think we'll come out hot. Can we maintain it? Are we healthy enough? I don't know. I think it would be a very close game. Right now I'm kind of leaning toward maybe a 3-5 point Penn State victory. But tomorrow night I might get full of orange Kool-Aid and predict an Illinois win.
Oh, that would be interesting. And Penn State, yeah, like you said, or like I said, not the most stable situation right now. They have rolled off a couple wins in a row. The offense looks pretty good. So if they can push back that Illini front seven, they should be able to get a little comfortable, although Shieldhouse has given them troubles in the past. Last year, this game was just a snooze fest until the last 5 minutes when it turned into a complete thriller. I was actually
When
at that
suddenly
game. That was a lot of fun.
Derek Moyer was suddenly healed and
That was
were in the
unbelievable.
field and beat us single-handedly.
And then the field goal at the end off the post.
Yeah, it clanked
Must,
off
yeah.
the upright, that's right.
And right after that, the sanctions hit, so that game doesn't count. But,
It was crazy. Like, yeah, it was really crazy that like, because that was the record right there. And,
You're right.
there was a fourth down penalty in what was it? Yeah, it was a fourth down penalty on that Penn State drive. Penn State had fourth and goal, maybe?
I think I
Fourth
remember there
and
being an interference. I don't know if it was on
yeah,
fourth
and there
down.
were
It might, it was
interference
third or
if
fourth
the
down.
refs don't, and it was interference. But if the refs don't throw that flag, that whole week is different. There's no record. Illinois wins the game because we could have just taken a knee. It would have been totally different. One flag, and then you score the touchdown, and we clank the field goal, and it's a whole different ballgame.
Okay, I've talked about, I think I've explored everything I wanted to talk about. Is there anything you wanted to know about Penn State before I let you go here, Robert?
Yeah, I'm curious. Who is it? Hackenberg? Who's the quarterback that Penn State has recruited?
Hackenberg is the recruit who's a verbal right
Yeah.
now.
Is he sticking around? I saw Jones left this week or something like that. Was it
Oh,
this
yeah.
week?
Well, that's because O'Brien switched him to tight end.
Oh, okay.
At least
And he
that's the
wants to go play
speculation.
quarterback somewhere.
Yeah, probably.
So is Hackenberg going to stick? I haven't been following that closely, but I mean, I've seen film on the kid and he's a stud. I'm just curious. I guess he's reaffirmed his commitment.
He reaffirmed back in August when these six big recruits from the 2013 class all got together, led by Adam Brennan, the stud tight
He's the
end.
tight end.
But one or two of those guys had sw had s has since then switched their commitment. Hackenberg has
Okay.
not switched yet, but really no one knows for sure until we can get that signature, which would happen in February probably. So everyone's kind of being cautiously optimistic and keeping their fingers crossed because that would be not just a big shift for Penn State, the football team, but it would help the image as well if the number two ranked pocket quarterback in the country still wanted to go to Penn State. That would be a big
Right.
boost. Certainly, if he's thinking about the NFL, I think O'Brien's a great guy. I mean, look what he did to Matt McGloin. Matt McGloin went from being a walk-on, and now he's going to get, he's not going to get drafted, but he's going to get invited to NFL camps this summer probably, or next summer, which is a big step
Right.
for him. So, if Hackenberg's looking at the development of McGloin, I think he should be excited, but it's obviously his decision. It's a very tough decision, and we're just really crossing our fingers right now or hoping he signs.
What's the I'll ask you this question. What scares you the most about the Illinois game? Like what's like for me, it's our offensive line that if our two seniors are out, we're in big trouble. What scares you the most about the game?
Definitely Shieldhouse. Or is it pronounced house? Like
Yeah,
what?
Shieldhouse.
It's pronounced house. I've been trying to pronounce it differently this whole time
Oh, I
because of how it's
said
spelled.
Hayes for years.
Hayes.
Like even when he was a redshirt freshman, wasn't playing. I kept calling him Shield Hayes.
Oh, awesome. I feel better now. All right, so Shieldhouse scares me because he's created problems for Penn State before. And now this Ferguson kid sounds like someone who would be really good to create mismatches against our linebackers. On the other side of the ball, I've heard there's a really good defensive end.
Yeah, Michael Buchanan.
Michael Buchanan's the star defensive end. Those guys always scare me because because Donovan Smith's been hurt. Although the team has fared pretty well in keeping McGloin upright so far. So I think they'll be okay on offense. But, yeah, I am concerned on the defensive side of the ball with how we'll handle the mobile quarterback. I know Tyler Tettleton of Ohio carved us up pretty good, so there's a chance that Shieldhouse could go off and do something like that. And
sure.
I didn't know
sure.
much about Ferguson before, but just from doing the research for this, he sounds like a very dangerous player.
Yeah, I'd love to see him in a breakout game in his first Big Ten game, but again, if our linemen are out, we're just so green that it'd be tough for him to find any space.
Yeah, it should be hopefully a big day for Penn State's front seven, but the secondary has just been so scary. I mean, I know AJ Jenkins is gone, but anytime the ball's in the air deep, it's a scary situation for Penn State. But they have been good about getting pressure on the quarterback. We have a linebacker, Mike Hull, who's not even in the starting lineup, but our defensive coordinator, Ted Roof, has created what he calls the Roadrunner package for him. So I know he's not going to be in the starting lineup, so you might not be aware of Mike Hull, but he is going to be sent on blitzes after the quarterback. He wears number 43, so just watch out for that on Saturday.
Okay.
All right, so we've gone. Yeah, you have anything else?
No, that was that answers my question. I'm curious to see what we'll get. I can see this game going either way, and that's probably a lot of hope in that, because if we lose this one, then we go on the road to Wisconsin and Michigan, and we're just staring 2-5 straight in the face. So,
Well, Wisconsin's having serious trouble putting up points, so maybe you could pull the upset. They've already been upset at home, and they could have been upset at home twice. The Oregon State loss was against the road, but they almost lost to Utah State at home. So,
right.
So I wish you the best of luck, the Illini, the best of luck the rest of the way. And
same to you.
It was great talking to you. I learned a lot.
All right, great. Thanks.
All right. Have fun on Saturday. It should be really exciting. Big Ten weekend to start, and thanks for coming on.
I'm ready for it. Thanks for having me.